Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one. Popcorn Talk. We talk.
There
movies.
Is no emotion. There is peace. There is no ignorance. There is knowledge. There is no passion. There is serenity. There is no chaos. There is harmony. There is no death. There is the Force.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello, Schmoville. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. I'm Kat Knapsack here for the Jedi Alliance. You, of course, can follow along on our Facebook page, the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Know Network, and on Twitter, at Jedi Alliance SK, and don't forget Instagram, Jedi Alliance, where I've taken some pictures of our set today, and it's changed a bit because today we're going to be talking about Star Wars Legos. Now, first, though, you may notice to my left, I'm on the right, or at least right on set here, left on screen, because our beloved Madawan Maud Garrett, she's taken a Star Tours shuttle to Naboo. She's traveling to Naboo. She's on Star Tours right now with Paul Rubens driving that ship here. But I am joined today by two young Star Wars fans, and I use that word carefully today because I want to get into a discussion about generational Star Wars fans. Yeah. So without further ado, it is the lovely Sarah Stratton.
Hello, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Co-host of Box Office Breakdown here on the Popcorn Talk Network and also many, many AfterBuzz shows.
Lots of podcasting.
Absolutely.
Lots of podcasting.
And you are a Star Wars fan because I learned this because one day I was leaving the Jedi Alliance studios here in the cantina, and I passed by and I had a box with my Jabba the Hutt Black Series Comic-Con exclusive in it, and you were like, "Hey, you! What's that?" What's that say Star Wars on it?
I was like, what's in the box?
What's in the box? And that's how we started our professional relationship here at AfterBuzz.
Yes. Nice.
Exactly. I got very intrigued by you always carrying around a bunch of gadgets. And
yes.
Always full of surprises.
Whenever an old guy passes by with a box of Star Wars toys, it should pique some curiosity or raise some eyebrows. And next to you, of course, is Christian Ruvikabla,
yes.
A.K.A. Cobster,
yeah.
A.K.A. the associate producer of the Schmoes Know movie show.
Yes.
We broadcast live every Thursday night, 6 p.m. PST. My hand-picked apprentice from the producer chair.
Yes.
One day I will walk off into the sunset and hand you the clipboard.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to kill you in your sleep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We're Sith.
See, already started
we're going
already.
Sith here. I see. I'll watch my back now.
Yeah.
Of course, Christian, I've known now for about a year and a half through the Schmoes Know world, and I know you're a big Star Wars fan.
Big time.
You're
yeah.
always kind of jonesing to talk Star Wars with us,
always.
And I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Happy
for
to have
me.
Both of you here to join in.
Thank you.
And Maud, wherever you are, watching from some tiki hut on Naboo or some tropical paradise, we do miss you because I already messed up some of my homework that I realized right when the show started about Duel of the Fates. But let's get into what we call here the five most important Star Wars questions. And this will open up some of the discussion I wanted to have. So I'm going to put it to you guys first, individually. Sarah, I want to ask you first.
Ooh, I get the first question.
Ladies
All
first.
Right.
When was your first time seeing Star Wars?
My first time was going to be in my parents' house when I was a teenager. This guy introduced me when I was like 12, and I had the three VHS set, and I took them from my parents, and I watched them, and I fell in love, and I was pretty alone in it, though.
So what, you went in, you like moved past like the alcohol and the porn or anything, you're like, oh, so they got Star Wars.
For some reason, the movies that I took from my parents were, I got Star Wars, I got Indiana Jones, and I got Pretty Woman. And
we could be friends.
That's nice. Yeah.
We could be friends. I once saw Pretty Woman five times in one day. That's one of my biggest accomplishments in life.
I don't think I was supposed to see Pretty Woman, but I just
at that age,
I found it.
At that age, no. All right. So you said you were alone in your love of Star Wars?
Yes.
Like, what do you mean?
My parents had the films, but it wasn't something that I was really a world I was like brought into or that people were like excited about. They wanted me to like join the conversation. It was something that I really had to kind of search out and find, and
maybe
I loved
the Force led you there.
I think so.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I felt like I felt it. I just felt the pull
surrounded you, it penetrated
I felt
you.
The energy. Yeah. And so But it was constantly watching that set of VHSs just over and over again.
Did you feel, it's a great question, as a young girl growing up, did you feel, was it like, I'm not supposed to be liking this stuff, or how was it?
It wasn't as much as I wasn't supposed to. I just didn't really have friends who enjoyed it as much. I remember introduced some of my, like, college girlfriends to Star Wars. And I was shocked that they'd never seen them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them did not get it. And it was really sad and, like, heartbreaking for me.
Well, one of the things I have, we live in a very geek-centric culture where nerdness is a brand. And it's very easy to just assume, yeah, there's a ton of cool geek chic girls out there who love Star Wars. I think if you get outside that bubble, sometimes it is harder to find. My hometown, there's like two girls that like Star Wars. And that's kind of an argument I can get into sometimes where it's like, yeah, no, down here in L.A., you're surrounded by these amazing, wonderful women who love Star Wars. Where were you my entire life type situations? Yeah. But in other areas.
I'm from L.A., so.
I'm intrigued by that. So you found that you had to kind of spread the word yourself.
Yeah, I definitely had to introduce some of my friends to it. Mm. And my whole, and honestly, the people who I've talked to Star Wars most about have been guys, so it's a hard argument to push that it is a girl thing. I think there are girls out there, and I have met a few great fans, people associated with schmoes, but overall, it's overwhelmingly always been guys.
It generally is. It's still the business model, which is why some of the casting controversies last year, they're still going for what they know as their demographic. Mm-hmm. However, it is a great thing I want everyone to love this. So I love that fate led you to your parents' closet. So.
Nice.
Yes.
Moving past the Christmas gifts. I want your VHS Star Wars tapes. Or was it DVD by that time?
Oh, no, I still have the VHSs.
Nice.
Yeah.
The original
still
ones
have
or re-released ones?
No, I have the originals.
The black ones.
So you learned the right way.
Yes.
That's great.
I have the old school ones.
Cobster, your first time?
I'm kind of more the same way as far as like the VHSs. I remember seeing Return of the Jedi the most because obviously that's the one you show your kids first because there's all the Ewoks in there. It's a lot more kid-friendly than Empire and stuff. What?
Are you sure that's the one? When you have children, are you going to... We're starting with Jedi because you're going to like the fuzzy bears.
No, but I felt like everyone that I like when I watched the show, everyone said Jedi, Jedi, Jedi. Like that.
Jedi was my
one.
First too because I was seven when I saw it in the theater.
Right, but my real first great experience.
Yes.
My first.
I watched them in order.
Oh, okay, that's
well,
good.
You're lucky. Well, my first real experience is my grandpa. He was really into Star Wars. He's the one that got me into all this, and he took me to go see the re-release in '97 before Phantom Menace came out. And to me, that felt like the first experience, like seeing A New Hope on the big screen for the very first time was just, it hit me differently than any other movie has ever done.
That's great. I always say, like, again, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and, you know, I wasn't alive when the Beatles were rocking and rolling, but I found them very organically in 1987. It wasn't like someone was like, here, you must like it. It was like my friend was like, hey, I found this tape deck, and organically I found it. So each generation kind of organically can find Star Wars. It's more available. It's more in your face. You go to a toy aisle. What is that? But I like that you're like, this is for you in 97, that was no different than someone in 77.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was a really, really cool experience.
So quickly then, favorite movie?
Favorite movie is got to be A New Hope.
Okay.
I really, really love the first one so much just because it introduces everyone to these characters. And, you know, everyone goes off and say Empire is the best one, which I'll agree to that. I'll say Empire is the best one, but my favorite is A New Hope just because the whole spectacle of it, of introducing and Obi-Wan Kenobi just being in there.
We don't get A New Hope answered a lot. It's usually Empire and Jedi and one Phantom Menace. That episode never aired. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, for you, it's Empire?
I do have to go with Empire. It just really dove me into the world. Mm-hmm. All the different places and locations. And I like the darkness to it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You're
such a cheery, sunny person.
That's all fake.
You want to go into that cave.
Oh, yeah.
Your weapons you will not need.
No, I want to be in the cave.
You want to be in the cave.
I want to be in the cave.
Wow.
Empire, completely. I found it thought-provoking. And it was one that I could always go back and just watch.
You thought Yoda was cute, too, huh?
I love Yoda, and
Yoda's
love how he talks. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I love how he talks, too. I saw in the theater Jedi, one of the second or third times I think I saw it in the theater, my young sister, she was like 4 or 5 at the time, when Yoda died, she screamed, Yodio, Yodio, and we had to take her out. My mom had to take her
Yodio.
Out.
Yodio, nice. That's where Yodi originated from.
Right,
yes.
the Mark Reilly term. favorite character, Sarah?
Darth Vader.
Nice. Vader. You are Vader. A dark person.
Vader.
Ah, you want to be in the cave. Your favorite character is Darth Vader. Are you dating bad boys in your life here? What's going on here? Do we have to talk about this?
Very nice guys.
Really? With a dark side, maybe. Yeah.
Who knows? Hopefully not.
What draws you to Vader?
I just felt, for me, he's, first of all, I love so many of his lines. I love his presence on screen. Mm-hmm. The moment he walks into any scene, he's the one I watch. I like his character arc. I like, and I'm not talking about including the prequels. I'm talking about the character arc and his history, like, just within the originals. Yeah.
And then three.
He has one of one of the worst moments that I find the funniest.
Right.
Like, everyone hates the no, and I just crack up every time. Yeah, I find it funny.
The no?
I just do. I don't know why.
That's kind of painful.
I do. I find it funny. You can insult me. I love Vader.
Yeah.
So, like, pretty much he can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And
he can kill younglings, but he can do no wrong.
He can do no wrong.
Yeah.
You're dark.
Dark. Very, very dark.
You got to get to this dark side.
I'm sorry.
Cops
well,
are...
I will bring the lighter side of this duo right here. I'm going to go with Obi-Wan Kenobi. I really, really love Obi-Wan Kenobi, especially what Alec Guinness did with his character in the very first movie. I mean, I remember when he gets... Spoiler alert, when he gets killed off in A New Hope. That killed me. And because he's just like that father figure that you've always wanted, like father-grandfather figure, if you will. Just so wise and, you know, always so comforting to be around, and not in a creepy way either. Yeah, you know?
I was going
to
say, but you went there.
Just wanted to bring it
You back. Know, I like both your answers. Darth Vader, that's intriguing, and I think you had mentioned the other night when we were talking, but the joy that's coming out of your eyes when you're like, Vader. But New Hope and Obi-Wan, man, that's some old school answers.
I love it. Yeah.
A lot of people skip over New Hope in a weird way. Yeah. Even myself, it's probably the one I've seen the least, not counting prequel stuff, out of the originals, because I just gravitate towards the other ones. Jedi was my first. Empire. I watched Empire this morning as I was getting ready for the show. And New Hope, sometimes I skip over it. For some reason, I don't know why. But
I can pop that one in. I pop that one probably even at least a couple times a month. Because I'll go around and I'll watch a trilogy, you know, maybe like once a month. But A New Hope, I will watch multiple times. I can watch that movie over and over. It just never gets old to me. And Alec Guinness, he's really the main reason why I love that movie so much.
I like it.
Yeah.
Can you do a Krat Dragon call?
Oh, my God. The new one?
Ugh. Yeah, not the new one, but the old one.
I honestly can't remember what the old one sounded like.
And now it's something like that.
And it just sounds like a bubbling drunk idiot.
If Maude was here, she would do it perfectly, of course.
She would do it.
Sarah, you mentioned Vader has some of your favorite scenes and favorite quotes, so that's in our next question. What is your favorite quote of Star Wars that you use in everyday life?
I find your lack of faith disturbing. Has to be my favorite or most used.
I can't even look her in the eyes.
I'm so scared being right next to you right now. You're going to force joke me.
Darkness coming out of it.
Yeah. It's like you don't know what's going to come
next. Use that just often? So in your romantic life, that probably comes up. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Nice.
And then what follows, you know, chuckle, die.
Okay.
Or just, you know, suffocate for a little bit.
For me, I don't use this one in everyday life, but the one my favorite is, who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool that follows him?
I just used that the other day at work.
Nice.
I just did that. Yeah.
I need to start.
It's a great one.
Yeah. I mean, the stay on target one is the one that I always probably stay.
I can't shake him.
Yeah.
But yeah. Another Vader one I do use a lot is impressive. Most impressive. I do use that one a lot. Vader and Obi-Wan both have great quotes.
The Vader one.
Theirs is so easy to quote. Yeah. The whole, everything.
The one Vader one that I really like is All Too Easy. And
I'm just going to convert you all to Vader's going to be your favorite character.
What is your favorite Force skill then?
This one I'm torn about. It's like, part of me wants to say like Jedi mind trick, but I just really find like if I could electrocute people, it would just really suit me well. Just and lift them up and throw them against things.
I can imagine.
I just feel like that's just as... It's just as persuasive.
I can imagine Stratton like, oh, now you will die.
And I like have that hand.
Yeah, you gotta get the like weird like
with a slight shake.
My favorite is Force Choke, so I do go a little dark on that. Well, yeah.
For me, I guess you would say Force Push is one of my favorite moments, and one of the only moments that I really like in Phantom Menace is when Darth Maul, he literally points at one thing and he tells it to go somewhere else just with his head. And yep. It's like, you there. And I would love, like, remote, you here. And I just wouldn't have to do anything.
One of my favorite moments in Menace, too, with the Force Push is, I think it's Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon, I can't remember, they're fighting the battle droids mm-hmm. on Naboo, and they give a Force Push and the droids make that horrible sound. When they hit the wall.
Yeah.
What was that?
Like, he puts his lightsaber away and just...
Yeah. Like, it's this weird sound. All right, so you're still dark. God, you are really dark. So the final question I know the answer to, but I'll ask you anyways. If given the opportunity, would you turn towards the dark side of the Force?
I think I was just born on the dark side.
But the question is
the
for
Force.
You, would you redeem yourself and go good?
I don't know. I can't see that. You're yeah.
She's it's not. Like, I feel like I need to say yes, because, like, that's the nice
yeah,
thing to do.
Yeah, you feel guilty saying
no.
that, yeah.
But stay true to thine self.
Meh.
If you're Sith, she's like, nah, whatever, Jedi's. Whatever, Jedi's. Cobster, you are representing the good side
yeah.
here.
I mean, I like to say that I wouldn't turn to the dark side. I can get into some dark places, but I don't think I would.
Look, it's been proven they don't have cookies, so you can't go there.
Yeah, so I don't think I would.
I'm going to bring some cookies.
I don't know. She's starting to turn me right now.
Want some cookies? So we have, it's kind of like the Clone Wars episode, the arc on the planet Mortis. Yep. We kind of got the good and the bad
the
son
sister,
and daughter of the Force, and I'm the old Force dude. It's just kind of sitting there, keeping you guys from fighting. That is good. But I want to talk a little bit, a moment here about, like I said, the generational thing. I make fun of the age difference, but really, I love the fact that Star Wars goes on and on and on, and Lucas kind of designed it that way. As much as we malign the prequels, mm-hmm. guess what it did? It introduced Star Wars to an entire new generation of people, and that's what you got to do to keep the brand going. So you guys both discover it year-wise in the mid-90s, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're digging through the closet and you pull, and it comes out on VHS, did you have a frame of reference? Did you have to go to mom and dad and be like, what is this?
It was one of those things, as soon as, like, I opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
Then it appears everywhere, and, like, I had a neighbor who had everything. And then it's like one of those things, as soon as you know it's there, it just pops up everywhere. And then you can't hide from, like, and Star Wars is generational, but it's also everlasting, like, in the merchandising, in everything. It's never stopped.
So
if you,
really
no matter when you find it or fall in love with it, it's accessible.
Yeah.
And that continues, and now we have all the new films coming out, and that's a new film, but it's never been like a movie and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then it deadens. There's never a dull moment in the franchise. So I think that's the beauty of it, is that any time you enter it, mm-hmm. there's something new for you to find.
Yeah.
Like, there's something that's new to all the Star Wars fans always coming out. So you feel included. It's not like, if I refer to, like, I talked about how I found Indiana Jones at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a universe that, or a story that existed, and then it just died forever, and then eventually we got another one, but it's completely separate. There was nothing really new coming out. When Star Wars, there's always something new, so you can become intertwined in it at any time and feel a part of it.
I agree.
I don't feel
saying.
Distanced from the franchise. I don't feel like I'm not included. I feel like I can say I'm a Star Wars fan. It was, like, introduced.
You're in the world.
Exactly.
Everyone lives in Indiana. My favorite film character of all time is Indiana Jones, but the Indiana Jones world is not as big in terms of this community. Mm-hmm. There's books. There's comics. Yeah. There's an awesome ride at Disneyland as well. Yeah. There's action figures. That never caught on. So it is what it is. It is a great, and Raiders of the Lost Ark is a perfect movie and all that stuff. But I agree. Once you plug into Star Wars, there's a whole world out there. And I'm not just talking expanded universe. Yeah. Just on the playground and everything. Did you guys, now, growing up at Margaret Harlow Elementary School in Arroyo Grande, California, on the playgrounds, me and my friends, Star Wars at recess was a big thing. We'd assign characters. Today, you're going to be Princess Leia. I don't care if you're a boy. You're going to be
fine.
It. You're going to be Han Solo. And we go
That's
act
fine.
Out.
Nice.
We
I'll
actually had this, because back in the day, our playgrounds were made of solid wood with metal, like, stapled to the wood for a slide.
Nice.
It kind of resembled a So over the Sarlacc pit, the little skiff.
Yeah.
So we'd reenact Jedi all the time at lunch and, like, flip around and catch, and then you get a splinter in your hand. Recess Fun? Did you guys play it?
I was always the one that tried doing that. And we're like, nah, no, we're going to play kickball. I mean, they're like maybe like in first grade, there would be some kids that would want to like, oh, let's play this. And they're like, no, I want to play Jurassic Park or Mortal Kombat. I was like, what about Star Wars? I'm like, no, I don't want to play Star Wars. No. Mm-mm. So yeah. I would always try it, but never.
On Recess, Sarah, where you're like, Sarah. Okay, when I do this, that's electrical bolts, and you're dead.
When I was at Recess, I liked to climb everything.
Right.
So I would climb on top of the structure, and then it would be more of like yelling at Sarah to get down.
So the teachers were kind of playing along with you.
Yeah, hello.
I could see you being the ones like, no, we're playing Star Wars and you're not playing anything else.
Definitely there was a lot of more like battles. I liked any type of battle game or climbing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Christian, when you discovered it in the mid-90s here, you're at the re-releases in 97 and see it again for the first time. What did you do right after when you're like, whoa, how did you plug into the world? Who did you ask? Who did you find things from?
My grandpa, for sure. Because he was very much into Star Trek, and, you know, he saw the movies.
You know that's a different one, right?
Yes, that's totally different. But he was really into science fiction in general, and Star Wars kind of being this a lot bigger spectacle. He took me to go see this, and I was like, what is this? And, you know, I was like, is Vader really his father? You know, and all.
Yeah.
And he just introduced me to this whole new world, and then eventually it kind of crossed over into what I loved in my personal life, you know. If you want to sum up my childhood, it's like Power Rangers, Pokemon, and, you know, Legos.
Star Wars.
And Star Wars Legos,
Star Wars Legos, okay.
Yeah,
which is
and
why
so,
we have them here today.
And that was just kind of the thing I did. Like, I need figures. I never really had action figures, per se. But once it came out with these, like in 98 or 99 or whatever it was, I was like, I need to get these. And I need to play with them, and I need to reenact these movies as soon as possible.
Which is exactly what I was doing in 1983. So, again, it keeps going, like you said. Outside of... People don't remember, and I mentioned it before, 1989, 1990, 1991, Star Wars was this thing that just had happened. Mm-hmm. It was big, you figures, but it was just kind of there.
Yeah.
And then Heir to the Emperor comes out in 91, Timothy Zahn's first novel, and was like, oh, Star Wars is back. So there was only, but even then, it was still there. We still talked about it.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of new stuff to play along with. Well, that is how we get to know our guests on the show and how much they love and appreciate Star Wars. One day we're going to bring on someone who doesn't, and then we're just going to force choke them and let you.
Ooh, can I be there?
Yeah, we'll bring, I'll plan
you
ahead.
You jumped right at that. Can I kill someone? Please, don't we just...
Love it. I love it. So we're going to move on to Renewed Hope, which is our segment each week in which we take a look at this week in Star Wars news. Now, with Maud out and about, there's no way we could do this news normally with Queen Amidala addressing her people. She is, like I said, out in the galaxy, so she is not going to watch her people suffer today doing the news. I will not do it justice, but we're just going to talk about one news story because it's the only real news story I want to discuss today, which is this week... Disney, Lucasfilm, surprised us over our breakfast by releasing the title to Episode 7. That tiny little thing here is The Force Awakens.
I can see.
Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
So exciting.
Thoughts? Cobster.
Well, we had talked about this, and, you know, even via text, their whole Schmoes crew... it is a safe title. It really is. It's nothing that's too... It's no Empire Strikes Back, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But still, what really excited me, it's like, it's real. This is a real thing.
Sure.
They finished filming. There's an actual title now. We get to see The Force Awakens along with
Force
all
and
the
Awakens?
Other... The Force Awakens? Force Awakens?
I think you said the... Uh-oh. Mises says The Force Awakens!
Oh, gosh. JT's rubbing off on me again. But yeah, all these titles, just seeing them all together like that, it's just so, so exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. There's just some excitement that it's there.
Yep.
We know what's happening. Now we know what's really happening.
Yes.
Stratton?
So I don't have a huge problem with the title, as some people do. Like, The Force Awakens, I kind of knew that something about the Force was going to be in the title. So it wasn't shocking. Personally, my biggest beef with the title announcement is how it was announced.
Okay.
I just felt like the fans are what have made the title announcement important. It's everyone talking about it that's made it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But they just kind of fluffed it off.
Yeah.
It was nothing. And, like, I talked about this a little while ago where I was just like, I want an extravaganza. I wanted the trailer Christmas with the title.
Yeah.
I wanted something bigger. And this was just like, oh, here you go. Thank you, Twitterverse, for making this ginormous.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe because it's not...
we're so used to Disney Marvel inviting all the journalists to one theater and going, hey, you know, here's our big extravaganza. So, yeah, just kind of... Like, I saw it on Twitter first and thought, oh, is that a joke? Mm-hmm. Someone trolling again? But
that dropped the ball for me. I was just like, you know, this is so important to people. And everyone's going to talk about it anyway. Like, You've put so much effort into a movie. I'm hoping you're putting a lot of effort into a movie. You can make the title announcement a little bit better. Come on.
I agree with that, too, because one of the main reasons why I was excited for a teaser trailer, because we don't really need to see much with a teaser trailer, but I would have loved it if we didn't know the title, and then just at the very end of that teaser trailer, it showed the title right there. I think this, like, the amount of chills that I got actually reading the title on the text or whatever it was would have been so much more better if seen on the big screen.
It wasn't an experience for me to turn on my computer and it'd be a little like news feed that the title was released. Like, I wanted to be in an experience as a fan. Like, I wanted to be in the world mindset and hear about it.
I didn't have a problem with that because I'm in that mindset every day. I woke up and put on my Jedi robe and I practiced with my lightsaber and then the news hit.
Nice.
But I actually understand what you're saying. It just was such almost an anticlimactic thing. But again, I don't know. We all knew it was coming out in a trailer, we'd all rush to see, you know,
Into the Woods
or wherever they think the trailer's going to be on. And it would have been cool if it had been closer to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, I should say, or even New York Comic-Con. If they'd done it on a big one and had a Hall H-type panel, I would have totally agreed with that, and at least would suffice.
Or something more involving the cast, or... Yeah.
Let's talk about the title itself. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike it, and I want people to realize that. I don't dislike the title. I don't love it. It sounds like a video game to me. It sounds like a fan fiction novel, as I made on jokes on the main show last week. But I also want everyone to know I'm not being one of the cynical internet people. I get it.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like Star Wars to me. I don't know what I wanted instead. Mm-hmm. I didn't want Attack of the Clones. I personally actually grew to like The Phantom Menace as a title.
Oh, I hate that title. I'm sorry.
I get it now. Because I think it is, because that's what it is.
It was because of Darth Plagueis that I really liked it. Yeah. They mentioned
the book Darth Plagueis. Yeah. Hey, have we mentioned that book before here or on Far, Far Away with Christian Harloff?
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't dislike the title. It just... that's Star Wars.
Give it to De Niro.
Like. But let's put that stuff aside for a second and let's speculate what you think that title means.
The Force has been sleeping for 30 years.
If the Phantom Menace was about a Phantom Menace, and if Revenge of the Sith was about Sith getting revenge, and Attack the Clones was about a clone's defense force, wait, the clones never attacked. Why call it a... Never mind.
Yeah.
What do you think that... What does that awaken in you as a fan?
I mean, it's definitely that I think it's going to be some new generation. There's been some disturbance in the Force that it's made awake. It's definitely coming from the dark side. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see some... I feel like there's going to be a huge, huge presence of the dark side. And then we're going to be starting to see the good side of the Force popping up in, like...
The good side.
No, she
has to spit it out of her mouth.
It like hurts her to like, say
something. You see me, I'm like,
the dark side of the Force.
This monumentous, like, volcano eruption.
I've been practicing this.
The good side. Like, springing up. And
the goody-two-shoe nerds over at the chamber.
And they're all like, exactly. They're not really unified or anything, and they have to find each other.
Nice.
And like they don't know what's really happening because the Force is like hasn't really...
Awoke yet.
Present.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that too. I like the rumors coming out about like Luke not really using his powers. He's been hiding away this whole time. Yeah. And it even goes for Leia.
I think he has to come back because people are starting to get things. Kermit arms.
Just in case any of this is spoilers, that's our international spoiler alert, the Kermit, the frog arms.
Yes.
We're not going to get into the spoilers, but speculation might ruin it for some people, but I should have done that before. But so we've heard some of the stuff about Luke. Luke's gone away. That's why he has a big beard, because that's what a big beard means. Yeah. You just
the beard means teacher, but
I would agree
with that. It could be, yeah.
I
also like the idea of Leia, too, because she also has the powers, and she's most likely going to be in some kind of political position, and maybe she's trying
to... Wait, do you think she has, like, full powers, or do you think she's just in tune?
I don't think so. Like in Heir to the Empire, there's, like, one scene where she closes the door on Han or something like that. Like,
but
I think
it's more of, like she's in tune with Force, and it's not really... She's never really, like, exemplified.
That's a great question, because in this time period, maybe she goes... We're all assuming she becomes some kind of politician.
Maybe.
That's a good bet.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in 30
maybe
years...
Maybe she has done some
Maybe
training.
She had, like, a 15-year run as a real badass Jedi chick, you know?
Yeah,
maybe she learned from Luke and...
I just feel like if you have that much time and you know that there is those capabilities within it, you have to, like, play a little bit.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to? Yeah. Exactly.
But it'll be interesting how far she has come and how much she invests in that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see.
All right.
We'll
so see. That's for me, I think it kind of represents what we've been talking about. There, things have been dormant. Things have maybe been, not that they have been without wars or anything like that, but I think something is gathering. And yeah. I'm glad there isn't a dawn or a rise in the title, mm-hmm. But some dark force. The force doesn't necessarily mean good.
That's
it could
true.
Be bad.
That is very true.
The force
they
is coming up.
Something up.
You know, wow. So I'm excited. And, you know, who knows? I'm not ruling out some kind of appearance from Darth Plagueis the Wise.
I would love that. I would really, yeah. really love that. That's why I want to read Tarkin to see
well,
if they mention
Tarkin,
something.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet, but I have read some things about it, James Luceno's book. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Darth Harloff about it last night at the wonderful party we got to attend for Shirok Vodka. Threw us a nice little pineapple-themed party.
Yeah, it's very tropical.
We had some fun with that. But we were talking there in between drinks. As grown men do when they're drinking. Let's talk about Star Wars, dude. There's some references in the book Tarkin to Plagueis and
great.
Events of the novel Labyrinth of Evil, which is another James Luceno book that follows Revenge of the Sith, which is a very good and underrated Star Wars book. So we know Plagueis is canon because of Revenge of the Sith,
yes.
but the fact that it's
how
it's
it all got started.
Building and yeah. references to it, mm-hmm. it's a good thing. Good thing. You excited about Darth Plagueis? Come on.
Yeah.
You like the dark side of the Force.
I do.
He is the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Plagueis and Sheev.
I don't like that word.
Is
Menace.
What they should call
Sorry.
the next spinoff. Plagueis and Sheev.
That's like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Too many Siths.
No, it's okay.
Too many Siths.
Sheev.
Sheev. All right. Gosh. Next up is what we do here every week is Star Paws.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But here's the deal.
I don't know.
Here's the deal. With Dear Marty, traveling the galaxy, there's no way I'd have this our normal Star Paws competition go on and not give her a chance to catch up on her own power. So mm-hmm. I was thinking of pitting you two against each other.
And I was thinking I would just take that card out of your hand and nope. you could replace her.
Oh, you don't want to participate?
Let's see how dark you really
are. I'm scared of... Yes, I'm scared of trivia. I get really clammy. Like, unbox office breakdown, I lose every competition.
So what do we think?
Me and Trivia don't do well
JT, I'm going to need an impartial judge here. Do you think...
JTE?
Sarah,
remember, you have to do a show with me.
Do you think
Let
Sarah...
her play.
Yes!
JTE!
Good. All right. I think we got to do it. All right.
I'm so bad.
I just want to see her upset Copster.
This is...
It's not going to happen.
All right.
So this week, Stretton versus
no.
Copster. Darth Stretton versus Obi-Wan Cubster.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Just jump in with your first answer, all right?
Okay.
No buzzers needed. Who said the ability to destroy a planet was insignificant to the power of the Force?
Darth Vader.
Sarah got that one. She's on the board one.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, okay, fine. I'll go next one then.
Okay. Who took out a Scout Walker pilot with a single, well-placed blaster shot?
Princess Leia.
Nope. Chewbacca.
It is Princess Leia. Strutton's up on the board.
Boom.
Wow.
What is happening? Okay.
Wow. Who, according to the Emperor, did Luke feel compassion for, which would be his undoing?
Oh, Vader. No. It's Leia and... No. Shit.
I'm afraid Copster got that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
2-1. 2-1.
Oh. I'm so sorry if I cast on
that's
you
okay.
heard that.
What's the predominant environment of Yavin's fourth moon?
Oh,
go back to your high school.
Hold on.
Studies.
Can you repeat the question again?
What is the predominant environment of Yavin's fourth moon?
The red planet. Red. Oh, man.
I didn't need an answer in five.
Grand Canyon.
Four.
Red dust.
Three. No, it is jungle.
Oh, duh, with a basis. that's a trick. Okay.
Why did Luke think R2-D2 wouldn't run away after he removed his restraining bolt?
He won't get very far. He wouldn't go very far. Why? Restraining bolt. He wouldn't get very far.
Why did Luke Why did Luke think R2-D2 wouldn't run away after he removed his restraining bolt?
Gosh,
it's a hard one. I don't know if I think I know. I don't know if I can pull this one out. He's too small.
Oh.
All right, final question. But if
no, but I'm winning. I want
you're
no
winning,
more questions.
But if Copster ties, we got to go to a tiebreaker
okay,
question.
No.
What did the Emperor use to physically attack Luke Skywalker?
Lightning bolts.
No, I want to do the motion. I win.
Copster tied it up, so we're going to go to a tiebreaking question here.
That was just based
Take
on
that,
speed.
Sith.
I knew that
and
one.
And that's the one we
and
spent
you knew I knew
20
that
minutes talking about with
you. That's because I
you
went to move.
To, yeah,
I wanted
yeah,
to
yeah.
move. But, it okay. takes time, and he speed beat me.
Okay.
No, I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
Well, you put your hand in front of my mic.
All right. Here. Here's the final one. Here's the final one. It's a hard one. What was Obi-Wan Kenobi's last line in Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, he has failed us. No, 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 no. But there is another. No, Yoda says that.
Shh. You're throwing me off.
Luke.
Stop talking.
He was our last hope.
Cobster wins.
Yes. Yes, take it, Sid.
Cobster wins. That boy is our last hope. But let me tell you something.
That was close.
I'm going to pout.
I give you props for that.
You're going to pout.
You're going to pout, but
I'm going to pout.
Before the show, you were like,
really
no, I don't, dude, no, I don't.
You tried swindling me like a Sith.
You're like some kind of, you're like one of those pool players, or pool shark here. You're like.
I'm really mad that I lost.
I'm not that good.
Me.
Yeah.
I really should have had that one because I went for the full movement and you didn't.
Hey,
so
I give you props, though.
You lose.
I give you props, though. Right. Next time,
good
I will go in
good
with
battle.
Some hesitation.
Good battle.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Impressive.
Creep me
Most under. Impressive. From there, we go on to Duel of the Fates. Of course, this is where each week we take two things from the Star Wars universe and pit them against each other, much like I just did with you two. And the last week, this is where I forgot to do my homework. Last week, we pitted father versus son. Who was the better pilot? Anakin Skywalker versus Luke Skywalker. Now, normally, my lovely co-host, Maud, is the one who does all the totals. And as I drove up today, I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't do my homework. So I don't have an official total. I'll do that later and announce it on the Facebook page. But by general eyeballing it, we think predominantly Anakin Skywalker came away with this very, very close victory. But there were some compelling arguments on each side. But first, I want to recap with you guys. What would you have chosen?
Anakin,
for sure.
Yeah.
Both Anakin.
Yeah.
Reasons?
Just mostly because we get to see more of him flying. Also, from such a young age, in multiple types of crafts and pod races, like, there's just so much variety so much skill in every circumstance, whether it's racing, or rescuing, or shooting. Like, for me, that is more impressive. And we get to see Vader fly. Like,
hands down.
A lot of people I noticed on the Facebook page wanted to cut out the prequels from counting or the Clone Wars cartoon, but you can't. Yeah, we do have a better.
That's true. Yeah.
Kind of field to choose from with Anakin, but you know, Luke had some great things. Again, I chose Luke because at the end of the day, he beat him in a one-on-one duel. I know Han helped him, but the Force was strong with him, and he took down the Death Star. But you go Anakin, why?
Yeah, I think so, Anakin. I mean, you can't discount the prequels. No. They're there. They are there.
They are
you got to acknowledge that they're there. And he did a lot more than Luke did. Luke, granted, Luke destroyed the Death Star. You know, Luke
he just has variety.
But Luke also crashed his speeder bike. Speeder bike and the snowspeeder as well. They didn't really give Luke too much flying stuff as opposed to Anakin did.
Right.
Anakin just seemed more of a fitting pilot than Luke was.
What do some of our fans have to say about this copter? You grab some notes here today.
So we got Andreas Cabrera. He said, ooh, a little bit of controversy here, but I think it's hands down Anakin Skywalker. Not only did he pilot one of the toughest machines, Pod Racer, at such a young age, but he was a master of maneuvering since way before Luke Skywalker ever even stepped into an X-Wing.
Okay.
Yes.
I like that. Andre's a great guy. He was out there at Kamikaze with us. Join us.
Definitely.
All right. What else we got?
And then we got right here Anakin, whether you like the prequels or not,
right.
You have to recognize that Anakin had more notable features as a pilot than Luke did. Yes. And then
Luke, we've got some people who voted
for Luke.
So this is from Jonathan Dowdell. Luke crashes pretty much every ship.
This is an Anakin one.
This is an Anakin one.
Sorry. There you go.
All right.
Tricking you.
Yeah, that's not fair. Don't try and make me misspeak. It won't go well. Anyway, Matthew S. Floored. If I've got to choose between the two, it has to be Luke. Flying his whole life in his T-16, he flew the entire battle of Yavin without using the Force until he took the shot. Anakin, on the other hand, in parentheses, or stub, crashes twice in one movie. Come on, who crashes a cruiser?
Yeah.
I like it.
Another Luke. This one, I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. We decided it is
Ian McCoury.
Exclamation point. Luke! He destroyed the Death Star shooting into a 2x2 meter large hole and using the Force and flying his ship at the same time. I wish we had more stuff in the movies with him flying. At least we see more evidence that Anakin is good pilot in the prequels.
Yeah.
But Luke with exclamations.
You know, and again, I chose Luke just, it's a little bit of nostalgia, I have to admit. And he took down that first Death Star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think given the chance, he would have taken down the second. He just had other things to do.
Very true.
Which is kill his father.
Yeah.
But Anakin, I get it. I mean, this guy, I mean, Obi-Wan says it in A New Hope. He was the best fighter pilot in the galaxy.
Yep.
So,
And we all know he's very, very, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have to go with Obi-Wan's assessment.
Mm-hmm. You got to go with Ben Kenobi. So this week we're going to do this one. This one's a fun one. I may have thought this one up after too many whiskeys alone on a Friday night watching Star Wars. Would you rather get a drink in the Mos Eisley Cantina or buy some Death Sticks on the bar in Coruscant?
I love that.
Now this is a test of what you think of the prequels. You got to separate what you think of the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go into the universe as it exists and put yourself there.
What you've got to go into? Is this the most easy question ever?
How is it answered? Look, take some. We got pictures up. We got the Mos Eisley Cantina. Stretton, answer.
100% Cantina. 100%.
Okay.
First of
all. Not even 98?
No. Mm. Not even. First of all, a
she
drink.
Likes the wretched and villainy.
I do. Yeah. I like the villainy. I like how, like, it's just like a kickback bar with all my friends.
You want to buy some Death Sticks?
I don't like Death Sticks. I don't want to go into all the mind warping and lose
part of my life.
Wait,
did you say the Mos Eisley Cantina is a kickback bar?
Yeah.
No way.
I would get along with everyone there.
They don't allow droids in there.
Well, you are kind
they
of dark.
They would love me. What are you talking about?
You are
kind
of dark. Yeah.
Versus about, and guess what?
Yeah.
There's actual music in the cantina. Who goes to a place where there's no music?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So much more friendly.
Okay.
Usually I would go the cantina as well, but I'll play devil's advocate. Just because the
you
scene
want some Death Sticks.
Yes, because that scene
why?
That scene in episode 2 is probably one of the only best parts about the whole movie.
One of the only ones.
It's the only comedic moment that's actually funny, you know. Nothing else, no Jar Jar or anything like that. And I just think that's just
you might get some hate on the internet
fine.
For that one.
That is okay.
But I actually kind of agree with you. We got the scene up there. You want to buy some Death Sticks? You don't want to sell me Death Sticks. I don't want to sell you Death Sticks. You want to rethink your life.
I generally just because that moment was surprisingly a lot funnier.
Yeah, hold that picture up, JT. It's on screen, easier to see on the YouTube here, but we're going to hold up here for those listening on iTunes. This is why I choose the bar in Coruscant. Mm. The picture here, when you walk into that bar...
I understand there's gambling. There's...
It's not just gambling. When you walk in there, you ever been to a Dave and Buster's?
Oh, yes.
You ever been to a Dave and Buster's? This is the Coruscant version of Dave and Buster's. You walk in there, you got droid football, you got something going on in arena, you're watching, racing. You got some kind of pod racing going on, you got some great food. There's the threat of being killed is a lot less in this bar on Coruscant than it is on Mos Eisley.
Okay, yeah. I get it. You're a bit of a chicken. You don't want to deal with it. You want to stick with your little games.
I want to go enjoy my Bantha wings and watch
and
some droid football.
And not have to watch your back at all times.
There's better characters there. You got Anthony Daniels out of makeup, Ahmaud Best out of makeup. They're hanging out there with George Lucas's daughter there in that one little cameo scene.
I want to dance and kick back and have a beer and run to Han Solo and all my pilots.
Now, the only death in the Coruscant bar was by that scoundrel Obi-Wan, who, by the way, seems to like to go to bars and cut people in half, which is what I have a theory about the Jedi being the a-holes of the galaxy. But... Coruscant bar.
I'm making my claim.
Yeah, I know you would. I'm making my claim for that. We got the cantina, which look,
the cantina's awesome.
The cantina, look, when you put Star Wars
jazz music,
Star Wars Battlefront, when you go into their cantina on the Tatooine level, and they got the music playing and everything, I get it. All right, so cantina, 2 for Coruscant. We put it to you.
Yeah.
You guys can go lose your minds on your death sticks, and your life expectancy will go way down. I'll be kicking it.
So
kicking it
we'll go put that to our fans on the Facebook page, Jedi Alliance. On the Schmoes Know Network. We'll post it there. You put your comments. We'll have an actual real total next week with my other guest stars who are going to be, by the way, next week, Mark Ellis and Mike Black going to be on the show with me as Maud is still traveling the galaxy. But we're going to put that there on the Facebook page, also on Twitter. Join the conversation. We'll read your comments on there. Would you rather get a drink in the Mos Eisley Cantina or buy some Death Sticks in the bar on Coruscant? From there, we're going to move on to Forced On as we look towards the end of the show here. I wish we could spend 25 to 30 minutes just talking about this, but I said, Cobster, you're going to be on this week. You love Star Wars. What do you want to talk about? And you said,
Legos. Absolutely. And I saw you pulling out all these boxes out here, mm-hmm. and I just fell in love all over again. As you see right there, the A-Wing is my favorite of
Here's
all of
the A-Wing set here on iTunes. I'm sorry, this is on the YouTube show you're seeing. I'm holding up the my collection. A lot of them are still in boxes. Mm-hmm. Continue, Captain.
Yes, and I just remember I when researching for the show, I went back and I looked up all the Lego set pieces that maybe did I have this one? I literally had the first couple of sets, like all of them. And I love them. I went on a trip to New York one time to go to a toy store just to buy Star Wars Legos, and it is that speeder bike one that you see there.
It's a great one.
Oh, it's incredible. Look,
JT, you got that one shot of me?
And you haven't even built them yet. Oh, that's just...
What are you waiting for?
I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. Space. Not space that we're going to travel to with Chris Nolan. I'm talking about space in my room. Yeah. As I mentioned, I am an older gentleman in my late 30s, so it's very space when you have a roommate in L.A. trying to make it in Hollywood, and mm-hmm. still at this age, you don't have a lot of space to play with. So I need to have some kind of dignity to remaining in my apartment, so I have to put some of these away. Yeah. I have built some of them here. I got the TIE Interceptor.
Yeah. Yes.
The AT-ST.
Looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm glad you talked to because Legos is something I grew up with. In 1982, I dove in as a young kid. I got a set. You can look it up on the internet. It's called the Galaxy Commander set. It came out in 1982, maybe 83, but it's the first Lego set I had that was large. It's a large spaceship with three parts. I actually built it in 1982 or 3 when it came out. It's still put together, never been taken apart from that day.
That's incredible.
Years and years ago, 30 years ago, it's still sitting in my room, dusty as Legos get, but I won't take it apart.
I thought licensed for Star Wars Legos was until 1999.
No, Galaxy Commander was just space. Because I grew up when it was Legos, Legos Town, Lego Space, then Lego Castle, and that was it.
Oh, Lego Space.
Which is interesting because when Lego Star Wars came out, I didn't dive into it. Mm. Because I was like a Lego purist. It was like, I don't need characters. I already have like an entire cast of characters with my Legos.
Yeah.
I was the kid who built Legos and went to my friend's backyard. He had a big tree, and we actually built a working space station in the tree with strings and things that moved out of our Legos. So when Star Wars stuff came, I was like, I was a little bit older. It was in my early 20s, mm-hmm. kind of when it kind of really hit. Now, as you can tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, you really you stuck with that.
And the microchips.
Yeah,
cheap. They're coming out with series two of these little micro ships, the micro fighters. They've got an AT-AT, an AT-AT, an Imperial Walker, whatever you want to call it.
Nice.
I love these ones. Of course, the Millennium Falcon, the Han one there. Sarah, what do you think about all this?
I mean, I want to play with it. Yeah. Did I have them? No.
You've been trying to build these since you got here today. trying to open up my boxes.
It's not nice for you to bring things to play with and then not let me play with them.
Yeah.
It's quite rude.
You can play with the AT-ST and the Italian Interceptor.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We'll get you a Darth Vader one, maybe.
But it was,
Darth Vader keychain.
Yeah, actually, I really want the like $500 Millennium Falcon one.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course...
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get me a present...
if you're going to get me a present, the one I haven't purchased yet, and I bet you know where I'm going, because it does cost about $500, but again, I can... I really want it on display. I don't want it in a box. And that is, of course, the Death Star set.
Yes, absolutely.
Much like Wayne Campbell in Wayne's World would go into the guitar shop and just grab that guitar and just play it. And then finally one day is like, do you take cash? That's I go to downtown Disney and I just walk into the Lego store there. Gosh. Or I'll go to the one in the Glendale Galleria and I'll just stare at it. Mm-hmm. Sir, can I help you? No. No.
Give me some space.
That is absolutely on my bucket list. Yeah. It's that and the Millennium Falcon, too.
Yeah, the Millennium Falcon's good. My friend Megan Finley has been on the show, has a Millennium Falcon in a box in her living room.
Opened.
And I'm always like, one day we're going to build it. And F no, she says. No, no. Don't even touch it. And I agree. I have the ad at home. Mm-hmm. I just got a Target that just came out, and I couldn't. The box was too big for me to bring. So I'm so glad. The Lego Star Wars is one of the best parts of collecting. Mm-hmm. They've done such a great job. It opened up Lego to so many other things.
It did.
Mm-hmm. You know? You can go get Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Marvel, Indiana Jones
the Lego
for a while.
Movie, yeah, all the I remember the Lego movie or the Indiana Jones.
I have some the Indiana Jones ones locked away in boxes in my closet that you can't get anymore unless you
they
scour
had like a
eBay.
Side shoot off of that too, where they had like dinosaurs in it too. Oh, and you can make the movie. Oh man!
And then of course the Lego Star Wars games.
Yes.
Are some of the best video games out there. Really fun.
I know about them.
You know about them?
I
or have you had a chance to play them?
I have not played them.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I haven't.
Would you like to play them?
I have homework for Star Wars. Don't you know this? I have so much stuff.
You do have some homework.
I have so much homework.
One of those homework is find a Super Nintendo.
One of these homeworks, I'm going to steal one of those.
You got it. And then get a Super Nintendo and play some of the original Star Wars video games based off the movies. New Hope and Empire. Those ones were some of my favorites on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. What is your favorite Star Wars game?
I think Stuckman brought it up, was the...
The N64 one?
Yeah.
Shadows of the Empire?
Shadows of the Empire,
Dash Rendar.
Yes.
Whose ship appears in New Hope re-release.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, because I know it's a Star Wars commander on one of the little ships. But.
No. As you go into the reworked entrance of Mos Eisley, when Obi-Wan and Luke and everyone's going in, Dash Rendar's ship actually flies out early on.
Oh, that's blowing my mind.
You have to kind of pause.
Yeah, it's like a knockoff version of the Millennium Falcon.
Well, we could talk about Star Wars Lego toys. I think it is a great part of the universe. It's a great thing. I'm so glad you decided to force it on us, and I love that you brought your snowspeeder.
I literally bought that.
You've been shooting it a JTE all day in the studio.
Yeah. That's crazy, though.
Boom!
It actually shoots.
Absolutely.
Got him.
That's awesome. Now collect that. Good shot, Jensen. So that has been a fun-filled edition of Jedi Alliance. Before we go, we always like to pay a tribute to a fallen character or characters or notion inside the Star Wars universe. This week, before we go, we're going to pay tribute to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Today we pay tribute to Owen Lars and Beru Whiteson Lars. Known the world over as Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, their gruesome end is arguably the most iconic death in the series. The haunting image of their still smoking bodies sprawled across the tattered remnants of their moisture farm remains one of the most memorable images of the series. But from a certain point of view, their deaths just might be the most important ones of the Star Wars saga. Owen Lars, son of Kleeg, was born into a hard-working, simple way of life, and he loved that life. He never questioned following his father's footsteps as a moisture farmer on the twin sun-dried planet of Tatooine. He never dreamed of going off-world or even back to the planet of his birth, Ator. He liked his life. He was proud of his life. And when the beautiful Beru White Sun walked into his life during a fateful visit to Anchorhead with her bright eyes, Owen's place on that godforsaken planet was cemented. Owen and Beru's relationship was tinged with tragedy early on when Owen's stepmother Shmi was kidnapped by Tusken Raiders. In the ensuing attempt to rescue her, Kleeg Lars lost a leg and would later succumb to his injuries, which by then was the same fate of Shmi. But Owen and Beru continued on inheriting the moisture farm and carved out a good life for themselves and the young child they took at the insistence of that old wizard, Ben Kenobi. That boy would grow to be Luke Skywalker, who dreamed often of leaving his homeworld, but never quite found the reason. Oh, sure, Owen didn't want him to leave, lest to become like his old father. When asked directly to follow Kenobi off the planet to rescue a princess, young Luke backed down, if we recall. But later, upon finding his aunt and uncle brutally murdered by Imperial stormtroopers, or was it Boba Fett, Luke had his reason to leave. So, that means their deaths might have been the most important in the Star Wars saga, and they did not die in vain. So here's for the hardworking, sun-drenched, blue-milk-drinking Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru Lars. You did not die in vain, for your deaths changed a galaxy forever. That has been another edition of Jedi Alliance. I want to thank Copster, Christian Ruvicaba, my associate producer on Schmo's No Movie Show, Sarah Stretton, the dark side of the Force-loving Sarah Stretton. Sarah, where can we find you? We know it's not on Twitter.
No, it's not on Twitter.
It will be soon.
No, it will not. You can find me at Box Office Breakdown. Mm-hmm. Also, I do some work with AfterBuzz TV and Anatomy of a Movie.
Absolutely. And this year, maybe a little Game of Thrones guesting on that show, right?
Oh,
let's talk some Thrones. That's what I love, too.
You're coming on board.
Absolutely. Copster?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Copster15 and on Schmo Plus doing a lot of behind-the-scenes fun stuff there.
Absolutely. Do not forget that Jedi Alliance has an Instagram page, Jedi Alliance. Go to our fan page as well. Jedi Alliance fans do some good stuff there, keeping track of Star Paws for us. And don't forget to rate and review this show on iTunes. Do us a favor. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us that 5-star rating. It helps us there. Don't forget the Schmoes Know Network has a lovely bevy of shows like Profiles, Guilty Movie Pleasures, Meet the Movie Press, Box Office Breakdown, and the main show, Schmoes Know Movie Show, live every Thursday, 6 p.m. PST, for all the fun there where my news Snark will find its home, and we play wonderful games, and maybe we'll get you on one of these days for Celebrity Impression Dating Game.
Yeah.
And we're going to get you on for the Schmoes No After Show show.
Ooh,
right?
That might be happening. Yeah. That might be confusing.
As always, go to schmoesno.com for all the shows. Find it there. And until next time, this has been the Jedi Alliance. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.